I am going to introduce our guest speakers. We have the amazing Lily Mullins here with us tonight. She is the captain of the Roanoke College women's swim team, and she bravely led her team to speak out about their experiences collectively as they faced a male student wishing to join their team. And her listening to a first person voice and a brave young woman speak about what those experiences did to what that experience did to the psychology and the health of the girls on the team, how they were able to find their voices and the courage to stand up and say, no, hey, this is not fair. It's not right. Is a really empowering story. We're excited to hear from Lily. And then she is joined with her mother, Katie Mullins, who is also just been a wonderful voice. She spoke out on behalf of the parents that were trying to support their girls through this really tumultuous season. And we're excited to hear from you too, Katie. Thank you for joining us, ladies.
Okay, great. Thank you for being here. I just wanted to maybe start with you, Katie. You were the first one who reached out to us. I'm just wondering, what was that process in looking for guidance and support? How did you find us? And how did you ultimately come to reach out?
Well, when this started to happen and Lily was telling me that this is real, that this guy's going to be on our team and we don't want this. And what do we do? And I didn't have an answer. I don't know what you do. What do you do? How do you know what to do? Where do you go? Like, so I just, Riley Gaines was a voice that I had heard. I started Googling Riley Gaines. How do you contact Riley Gaines? How do you find her? And different various women's groups came up, and I would go to their webpage, email, and I sent lots of emails out, and luckily, thankfully, you responded, and I heard from Marcy, and I was like, oh my God, this is real. Somebody's responding. Like, this will happen. And I called Sharon Gallagher, who was one of the other captain's moms, and I'm like, I think we have someone that can help us. I don't know what we do from here, but I think this is a good thing. We're going to get some help. And that's what started the ball rolling whenever you responded to me and said that there was going to be a discussion going on in Virginia and can the girls participate with them? And I'm like, let's see. Yeah, let's, what do we do? So we shared contact information and just started rolling.
Well, that first step was super important. We were so thrilled and excited to hear from you, not to hear about the situation, but to know that we could actually do something to help. So Lily, why don't you rewind and maybe start from the beginning of the season and kind of lay out for those who are less familiar with your story about what transpired at the start of this season.
Yeah, so just kind of for clarification, this individual on our team, I swam with the individual at when they identified as a male. That was my freshman year. Last year it was a year of transitioning. And then this year, nobody really knew what was going to happen. So the summer coming into this school year, we had a Zoom meeting with my coach, and that's when he told us, based on the NCAA rules, that this was going to be allowed. And from there, myself and the other two captains, we all three of us agreed this isn't fair. But at that point, we were like, okay, kind of what do we do? With that, once we got to campus, we had a meeting with our entire women's team, and all of us agreed this isn't fair. So everyone was against scoring for the women from the get-go. And then from there, we had meeting after meeting after meeting about this. We were a couple of times advised to write letters to the individual, and then those letters would be read to this person. And so from there, that was kind of what was supposed to be how our feelings got expressed to the person. So yeah, after we did that, I guess that was three times we wrote letters. Things weren't looking very good. We weren't getting answers from the school at all as to what was going to happen. I mean, this person was on the pool deck with us in a women's suit, in our women's group chat, all those things. So We were under the impression that they were on the women's team. And then once things kind of started to move into actual competition, so right before we had our first meet, the individual decided to withdraw from, I guess, requesting to be on the women's team. But like I said, we were all under the impression that that was already set in stone. So once they did that, it was kind of like we didn't really know how to feel what had just happened, all this stuff that we had gone through for an entire month, which felt like 4 years. A lot of us just, you know, sitting in meetings, one with the individual where mental health battles were brought up, all this stuff. It just all of a sudden was no longer an issue. And yeah, that's kind of, I guess, the main gist, a very quick version of what we went through.
So did you feel like when you were living those 6 weeks of kind of uncertainty, but being told you were now had a men's swimmer switching to the women's team, having daily meetings, did you feel like you were empowered? Did you feel like your school leaders, your coaches, and the administrators at your school were giving you guidance? I mean, how did you feel in these daily meetings?
So with the meetings, it was always kind of us three captains bringing issues to our coach, and he was being used by the school as a means of, you know, they'll just talk to you and then you can come talk to us. But whenever that would happen, we would never hear from the people who we were trying to get to. And so that was hard, especially because we knew that our coach was talking to the people who we were trying to get to at the top of the school. And we knew that they were somewhat paying attention to us because like the president of the school had stopped us a few times and his wife and been like, "Hey, how are you guys?" And then when we said, "Oh, good," it was, "No, how are you?" during this whole thing. So we knew that they knew what was going on and how we felt, but no one was giving us an answer. Nobody was telling us what the board was doing. Nobody told us how votes were going to go with the school, because apparently this came down to a vote by the board. But like I said, none of us knew that. There was such a lack of communication from the people who we needed to talk to, which is where a lot of our issues came up during this whole thing. I mean, in the daily meetings, I just felt frustrated because I didn't know what else to do. I felt stuck every day because there was such little communication going on.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I can relate to that from what it felt like in the Ivy League. It felt like just hopeless. Like you felt like there was no one that, even if someone could listen, there was nothing they could do. And people were afraid to talk. People were told to be quiet. And it sounds like, you know, you, at least for me, it felt like, how is no one responding to this? How is no one saying anything? Where are rules? Where is logic? Where is rationale? Where are people who will stand up and do the right thing? And it was particularly jarring to learn that, you know, what I'd always trusted my entire life, that someone could not be coerced to do something unethical or to watch people hurt and to stand by and be silent, particularly those that were put in positions of power or leadership whose job it was to make sure rules were followed, things were fair, and women were safe. And it felt like the ultimate betrayal. And I got a sense of hearing that from both you and yes, your mom.
They were just being ignored.
Yeah.
I really believe they were being ignored. And my feelings is the administration was, let them talk to the coach. It's fine. Things will just play out. Yeah, and yeah, as parents, we were, no, you deserve an answer. We deserve an answer. Who signs the checks? Who come on now. We deserve an answer. And as parents, we sent emails to everyone from the athletic director to administrators to everyone to hear nothing, absolutely nothing.
And that same thing. So I think well, you all were successful at publicizing, at organizing, at speaking. You had some of the advantage, I think, you know, getting some education behind you rapidly, Lily. I know we want to hear what was helpful about getting yourself ready and able to speak. And actually, Katie, you as well. It took me a while. You know, I was ready to speak, but like, what do I say? Where's the platform? How do I do this? All those questions. That has to happen after you educate yourself well enough to speak up on it, to feel confident in your words, but and wrestle with both sides. Like, what are the other arguments? Am I not thinking of something? Yeah. You know, it's a long thought process. And Marcy calls it like an arc of learning, which I think is a beautiful thing, because there's something in you that says, as a spark, it's like, this isn't right. This isn't fair. And you mentioned that, Lily. And then you go to, okay, like, I need to think this through. I need to put my thoughts out. And it sounds like you were really lucky to have those two other captains that you could speak openly with in a trusting relationship. Mm-hmm. But after you had a chance to talk with them, what tools did you have that you felt like were most important in giving you the language and the reasoning to be able to articulate what you were going through?
Yeah. So whenever my mom reached out to Icons, obviously she put me in contact with Marshy. And from there, it was kind of like we had our couple of Zoom meetings with the team that where we discussed wanting to speak out. And from there, like you guys sending us those videos, the psychological warfare on girls, and listening to Riley, Paula, and Kylie, especially in every time that they've spoken out, they sound so articulate. And it was inspiring to hear that people who are literally our age could sound like that and then be able to express exactly what we were going through. And so with that, just listening to them speak and listening to you guys speak in all those ways, it really helped us with how we spoke. And then I think that once we got all our thoughts down in all those letters that I had mentioned that we were advised to write, we got all of our main concerns out already, and we had them written down. And from there, it was just, okay, now how do I say this to make it so that people understand, that people can hear this and it can resonate with them on different levels? So just the combination of getting every single thought of that we ever had from the beginning of this all the way through whenever the individual quit, all of that out on paper, and then from there listening to how people who have gone through this spoke themselves, and then trying to mimic that same kind of language, that was very, very useful. And even just having you guys as a resource, like I know I sent my speech to you, Kim, and it helped immensely to hear what kinds of things should be said, what kinds of things are, you know, it's too, I don't know, for lack of a better term, just too emotional, you know, because it was so, there was so much going on, and you don't want to lose people in just emotions. And that kind of goes back to where what I was touching on of how to get things out so that people get it.
I think, yeah, and there's a lot of learning. I don't think I've met a single person who doesn't at least start off, especially women, start off feeling like they have to apologize for speaking up for themselves and to say, I really don't want to be thought of as mean. I don't, and this just would never cross a man's mind, I don't think. You know, you can do the finals of a race and he's not going to be like, hey, I'm really sorry. I don't want to be mean to any of my competitors. I know they're all really nice people, but I think somebody is here and shouldn't be here. Like, they're not going to do that. Oh. So it's something. And then, you know, I think we all.
But it's something you and I have both started doing.
Yes.
In that life cycle. So yeah.
It's normal. I mean, it's normal for us to do that. I think as women, we're used to having to use our words to win battles because we can't do it with brute force and physical authority. And so the only way to win people over with your words is to first convince them that you're on their team, you're on their side, you're not a bad person, so you're worth listening to. And that it's really hard to make it an argument that defends women or defends your own rights if you're first willing to say, hey, pay attention to every word I say and pick it apart to see where you might find flaws. Mm-hmm. That was my big worry. It's a tough thing to get over. Yeah. But Katie, I want to ask you, like mother to mother, watching your daughter go through this and feeling, I've never felt so frustrated. You know, you're responsible for this child. You are responsible for helping them to be strong and to do what's right and to find their voice and chase their dreams and believe in hard work. And it is so disempowering and just crumbling is the word. Yes. I want to see you are unable to stop society, anyone around you, from just stripping all of that away from your daughter. Yes. And telling her she has to submit herself to make a guy feel better about himself. It was so hard for me. So I want to hear a few words from you about that.
Yeah. You talk about infuriating. There aren't words. It's just guttural. Hearing her, you know, I would FaceTime Lily a lot. I FaceTimed her more. As I said, when we had the talk, when we came out and we gave our speeches, I FaceTimed her more the first month of her junior year of college than I did the first 2 years that she was there, just because I wanted to put eyes on her. Like, what's happening with you? What do you look like? Because, you know, you could tell. And seeing her and other girls on the team would be in her room, and their discussions were, how do we get out of here? Like, I'm going to look to transfer. What are the NCAA rules for D3 if I transfer? If we've already practiced, does this take away a year from me? What happens with that? What other schools can I go to? Where can I go? Do I just quit swimming altogether? Do I do a different sport? Do I graduate early? And I just shaking my head. I'm like, no, ladies, no. No.
But your instinct is to try to escape. Like, if the world is stacked against you, and I think there's something just like, also, there's so much fear. I'm sure, Lily, that this my daughter expresses to me, but you're like, if no one will do anything when everyone can see this is wrong, everyone knows this is wrong, and no one will do anything. And people are actively telling me I can't do anything. It's wrong to change anything, that I have to use a locker room with a man. I have to let him take my records. I have to let him take my spot. And it's wrong. And no one will do anything. I have no way to fight it back. I think the only thing you feel like is escape is my only option. So I can relate to all of those words.
Yeah. And that's where in talking with Lily, I'm like, we'll find somebody, we'll find a way. And again, that was reaching out, finding icons, getting that information. And then when hearing what was happening, not just in swimming, but in cross country and tennis, in powerlifting and cycling, I thought, it just keeps going on and on. I said, Lou, you got to look at this. This is bigger than you at this moment right now. And you've had these brave ladies that have gone before you that are this ball is starting to roll. You have to talk with your teammates. You have to talk with them, and you either stand up for it or it's all going to go away, because your team's not big. If you got 17 members on a team and 7 or 8 are going to leave, you barely have enough for 2 relays.
Oh, Lily, you have to share what your coach was told.
Oh, yeah, that was quite interesting. Our first meeting that we had, our coach told us that administration had told him if every single one of us quit, us females quit, he would still have a job with a one-person team. And so that was told to him as, the way he put it was, that was told to me as a cushion. But when we were told that, it was like, really? The school doesn't care about us? Like, what? Yeah, he... I don't know. He did his best.
It's a message to you that the male athlete didn't care was about the only priority. If the girls all quit, that the male athlete was the concern.
Yeah, I felt bad for him even being put in that situation, even to hear that, like, from them. That, because I know for a fact that that didn't sit well with him, just based on how it was in the meeting, how he reacted to our reaction, too. I mean, just the girls were all emotional, but so was he. So this... Yeah.
He helped to build that team, and the school was willing to let it disappear all for one man to be on that team. And he was instrumental in starting that team, building that team, and what he did meant nothing. They were just going to let it go for this one guy. That was the one person that was important in this whole thing, was this trans swimmer. That's it.
So, I mean, we haven't gotten to detail. I mean, anyone can go listen to your talks, but we haven't gotten to detail. Like, the girls weren't sleeping, they weren't eating, they were losing weight, they were crying, they were worried about competing against other teams. The record boards were absolutely at risk. The girls, the practices weren't fun because they were just being blown away in the water, constantly having to compare themselves or think. So there's a whole catalog of trauma that they went just for so long, not to mention trying to balance not being able to focus on schoolwork, but then trying to figure out, how can I fix this situation? How do I advocate for myself? And another thing that my daughter told me, I remember like saying, Raimi, we have to talk about this. Like, you are going to get up in front of a crowd and you are going to have to stand up on a block and race this guy. And she got up from the table and ran out of the room. And just before she left the room, she turned back and she was like, I can't talk about this. I'm just trying to survive it.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. It's just, I'm just trying to get through today. Do we have to talk about this again? Can I just get through today?
I can't face the emotions of it. It was too much to handle. But I'm wondering, go ahead, Marcy.
So it's interesting because as I'm seeing the two mothers on the screen, you know, you battled the same situation or a very similar situation at different times, but only a year and a half apart, maybe. However, the contrast of the situation and the support that you had was completely different. And that was one of the objectives of even launching Icons, is so that we could give moms like ourselves a resource to be able to do something about it, so that a mom like Kim was not just forced to endure this anymore. And so I want to talk about some of the things that we were able to do in partnering with the team and supporting you to make a huge difference and an impact in a very short amount of time. So what I'm hearing is you were put in a position by your school where they made you feel completely belittled and powerless. You were voicing your concerns that were being ignored and asked to continue along as if this was perfectly fine and normal. And what you both decided to do was to say no. And if I'm not getting help and support from my school, even at the highest level, we're going to go around you and execute the mission of standing up for ourselves. And so that is, I give all credit to you both. Absolutely. We were just happy to support, but I want to talk about a couple of the things that we helped you and the team with, and some of the parents, and then hear kind of about the impact of what kind of support and things that you've gone through. So number one, after reaching out, we did help to coordinate some meetings with not just us, but people more important than us, like Riley Gaines, Paula Scanlon, Raimi Jones, who had already lived through this situation as swimmers themselves in the NCAA. So Lily, you gathered your whole team together and we Zoomed together and had a discussion. Can you tell me about like some of the things that you took away from that and how that helped you and your teammates?
Yeah. So going into that meeting, we were all all of us were super excited, obviously, because we were like, oh, it's kind of like, it's a celebrity we're talking to. It was really cool because all of us, like I had said earlier, we were all trying to, you know, look to the people before us who had already done this and figure out how it was that they got from where we were to where they're all at now. And so after that meeting, it was just, it was our locker room. It was so exciting. Like we, all of us were like, okay, we're going to do it. We can speak. We like, we have the, all these people behind us. It was so, it was just, it felt so good because it felt like we could take a deep breath as a whole, at like as our entire women's team, and just say, all right, we know what we're doing and we know we have people behind us. Who cares what the other people say? There's it. We know what we're doing is right. And actually, after that meeting, we all, we like put our hands in and we said, girls on three. So it was, even though it's a little cheesy, it was, we still, we did that. And it was so, it was just like, okay, you know, it was, it's kind of hard to put words. It was just a
relief.
It was, yeah, it was just like it, like I don't know, an out of body experience. It was like it, finally we could do something. We felt like we had the ability to come together and say, you know what, I'm fed up. Let's all just come together as one. Let's let people know this isn't fair and this is what we've gone through. And so after that meeting, it was definitely, it was empowering for sure. Just having people tell us, you know, like you guys have us in the corner, in your corner, and it's, the fight is, it's still going on. So yeah, it was.
I have a question.
Chime in.
Yes, I want to ask you, Katie, saying, why are these girls able to talk without crying?
I don't know. They've had some great inspiration and people lifting them up, and they know that there's some heavy hitters behind them, that there's a lot of support. I talked to Lily right after I knew that webinar was going to be going on when they were having that, and just waiting and waiting, like, my God, this is going on forever. Is this good? Is this bad? What's happening? And to hear her afterwards, we're like, hearts and minds are changed. We're not afraid anymore.
Mm. Oh, that's good. Mm.
So yeah. One of the things that came out of that discussion is that we all decided we're going to fly to Roanoke and stand on a stage with you and tell the world and all the media what you have been through and that this is not right. And that is unbelievable, really, if you step back and think about it. But we all decided, hands in, girls, to do that, and follow behind you and support you in doing that. So can you talk about being on stage, telling your story, being open and free to finally speak your thoughts and minds, and what that felt like?
Yeah. So whenever we had all decided, you know, like the press conference, as we called it, we were like, okay, this is happening. Actually, right as we decided that happened, that's when the individual withdrew the request, withdrew the request to join the women's team. But even though we thought, like I've said 100 times, all cards, all things were pointing that they were already on the team. So after that, we were all like, okay, we still went through this. It doesn't matter that our situation's over. We have an entire country where this is happening left and right. So that's where we had decided, you know, we're still going to speak. We're still going to tell people what we went through, because what we went through should be it. That should be it. But unfortunately, as we've seen, it's not. But once we got to the press conference, yes, there were a ton of nerves there. We were all like, what are we doing? But as soon as Riley introduced us, we all took a deep breath together, like kind of like the girls on three. We all said 1, 2, 3. We took a deep breath for like 3 seconds in, 3 out. And after that, we were like, all right, guys, it's time to go. Like, it's time to let these people know this isn't fair. Let them hear from us how much it affected us. Let them hear how just honestly, just how awful it was. It was from start to finish. I mean, there aren't even words to describe how unfortunate the situation was. And so once we got out there and we spoke, I was shaking pretty bad. But once I started speaking, especially having my mom in the front row and knowing she was going to speak after me, it was like, I have all the support that I need. I don't need any more support. And it was just seeing all my 9 teammates next to me too. And I looked to my left, and then having all these people looking at us, you know, there in support, holding signs up for us. It was, it was so empowering, and it inspired me even more. My fear, as soon as I gave my speech, I was like, I have nothing to be afraid of. This, I know what I'm doing is right, and I know what I'm doing is for the greater good. And that's really just how I felt. I was like, finally, people can hear this. People from more than just Roanoke College will understand what we went through. And maybe if someone else hears it, if someone else knows that we had 10 girls standing up there who went through this, maybe they can get the courage from us to go say something as well. And that was, truthfully, when we had heard that that had happened, it was, once again, it was another moment in the locker room. Like, yeah, guys, like, this is great. We did it. We did what we wanted to do, you know? So, yeah, speaking was, it was definitely something that made me, I am so appreciative and so grateful that I was given the opportunity to speak out. And since I have, I don't regret it one bit.
Good. It's amazing. I listened to a speech by Abigail Schreier. I don't know if you know who that is. She wrote a very controversial book and then went and gave a speech at Princeton while Leah Thomas was competing. And she talked about, speaking your mind and about not being censored and doing the right thing and what you know is right. And the word that she used for that, she said, it is not scary. It's not the worst thing you'll ever go through. It is truly liberating.
That's the word I was thinking.
The word, I have held on to that ever since. It's like a weight lifts off you.
Yep.
You don't have to hide yourself. You can see clearly. You can use clear word, like just the liberation of using, of putting your thoughts into words and of defending what you know is right is so freeing. It's the only thing that will cut through this darkness that we're facing as women right now is use your voice. Don't be afraid. And Lily, I love how you explained that to us.
Thank you.
Briefly, can you just tell us about, we got a lot of support when we were there, but even following that, like, who are some of the people like Governor Youngkin who have shown support for you and your team?
I mean, the support has come from small, and then obviously, like Marcia just said, Governor Youngkin actually reached out to us three captains, and I got to speak to him, which that meant so much to us. Carol Swain actually has, she reached out, she talked to us. That was insane as well. Just all these people from all different walks of life. We had a bunch of professors reach out to us. We had a ton of people on our campus reach out to us and say they supported us. We were getting emails. We got letters from complete strangers who they just sent it to Roanoke and said, hey, thank you guys. And that was it. I mean, we practiced at the YMCA up the road, and we had people, mostly grandparents, stopping us and telling us that we're their heroes because of the stuff that we did for their granddaughters. And that in and of itself, it was like that meant so much, just to know that what we, just saying what we went through and telling people, hey, listen, meant that much to that many people. It was moving. You know, it really was.
We were at the grocery store at a Publix in St. Augustine over Thanksgiving. And a lady was like, no swimming. My daughter swam. She swam at Virginia, and now she swims in, or she's graduated, swam in Hawaii. She's like, but you're familiar. And Lily was like looking at me like, dish. And she was like, well, and I'm like, can I spill the beans? And I'm like, did you happen to see? And I, you know, explained that they're the ones that spoke out. They were all over Fox News. They were all in the Daily Wire. And she's like,
oh, that's
oh my
your
God,
school.
That's you? And then we no more than got home and she got a request to follow her on. So, like, people that's you amazing. Don't know that you never would have known.
Yeah.
Well, I
will say, as we're talking to, like you mentioned, so many girls across the country, particularly in high school, that are dealing with this in their own sports. We since have shared your story as the first time that we've seen a collective team in that number come out together to stand up. And that, I think, will send waves throughout the future of women's sports from that day on. So we're just so grateful again. I want to get to a couple of questions that the listeners have. So bear with me a second. Okay, so we have a question.
Short one first.
Yeah. Tell us about the meeting with the trans-identifying male in which mental health issues were brought up. Was the threat of him committing suicide raised?
Yes. So that meeting, I actually was at home on FaceTime. I had just gotten my wisdom teeth out, and we were told that this individual wanted to have a meeting and say their point of view, kind of. This was a way for us as the women's team to express why we thought this wasn't fair, and then to have the individual express to us their side of the story, kind of. There were a lot of things brought up during this meeting. I mean, there were statistics brought up. Those got shut down. There were, you know, the biological differences, the heart size, the lung capacity, the muscle growth, all those things were brought up, but there was a rebuttal to each and every one of them. And then once we kind of got back into statistics, one of the other captains, actually, she was stating a statistic. I'm not entirely sure which one she was bringing up at the time, but the individual then kind of shot back really quickly with, well, if I wasn't doing this, then I would have killed myself. And from there, it was like the entire meeting, like I said, I wasn't there in person. I was on FaceTime sitting on my couch, and I could feel the discomfort, the silence. I felt it all. And it was just, it was so, I was in my head, I'm thinking, well, what does that have to do? Why are we're so far off topic right now? Like, this doesn't, like, I'm not trying to take away from any sort of mental health battle, but that's not the discussion that we have at hand right now. We're talking about pure fairness, pure competitive fairness with us and a man. So that meeting was definitely a turning point for a lot of people, because we were also in that meeting, the individual wanted to swim with the women's team, but swim for exhibition, meaning that they wouldn't score any points. And so very quickly, there was a poll sent out in our own group chat by one of the other female swimmers, asking if that would be okay to re-vote whether or not this would be okay after mid-season. So basically, we were under the impression that whether we voted yes or no was to say whether this person will swim exhibition for half the season and then start scoring points, or we'd get to midseason and then have to re-vote on that. So this was just another case of where this was put on us as the athletes, even though we were trying to just get our point through as to why this isn't fair. But that's what it turned into. And so the meeting, definitely for a lot of people, was walking away from that was hard to just say, okay. We were just blown away at what had just happened.
So that same threat was used in the Ivy League over and over and over again, and it's used continuously in all of these sports. Every argument that comes up, even in the federal government, and people just do not understand that it is a direct parallel to the emotional blackmail in an abusive relationship that women face all the time. I'll kill myself if you don't do what I want. And there is nothing more dangerous. It's a threat. It's a threat. And no woman should ever have to hear that. And especially it should not be used as a weapon against women who are trying to work hard and better themselves and seek accomplishments in what is supposed to be a protected and empowering environment. So to have that like emotional blackmail hung over your head, it takes all of the wind out of your sails, because all of a sudden what you're doing to make yourself a stronger and better person becomes something that is making you the most evil person, right? You are going to be responsible for hurting someone by trying to make your life better and see what you can do. It is the worst thing someone can tell a woman. It should never be stated. I am so sorry that you went through that.
Thank you. It was definitely interesting. That meeting was, like I said, a turning point for a lot of girls, because we were just like, we knew there was going to be no seeing eye to eye on this. And from there, it was really okay, what do we do now?
And you can't shoulder, I mean, I just can't get this lesson across. Anyone listening, like, it is not a woman's responsibility or a girl's responsibility or a team's responsibility to shoulder the mental health burdens of another individual. You can't do it. That has to be worked out between the individual and their medical providers. You cannot be used in that way. So I just want to lay that out there.
Much so.
This discussion is so amazing. We're going long past, and rightfully so. So I just want to just wrap up with both of you. So Katie, speaking to a mother in your position, what would you say to her to inspire her to follow you all and speak out freely?
Contact me. I would help you. I would be willing to do anything. One, but two, don't be afraid. It's not frightening when you speak. It is truly liberating. And the pain that you feel watching your child go through something that you cannot control and doing nothing is so much worse. The sleepless nights and the trying to finding an answer and getting the help, the exhilaration to do something, to be a part of something, to be able to help lift them up and to teach them how to be the change they want to see. At the end, that's our bigger responsibility. We have to help them learn how to make the change, because they're our future and we need to help them. And there are more people in support than there are against you. I promise you that. The ugly voices are the ones that are against you, but the majority is by far and for what's right. You can't go wrong standing for what's right. And this is the right choice and the right decision and the right thing to do.
So Lily, Lily, same question to you, an athlete in a position that you're at. What would you say to that athlete?
I would say courage is contagious. So if you have the chance to say to your teammates, look, I understand that this is scary, because like I said a few times in this webinar, I was scared. I was very scared. I had many conversations with my mom, like, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? It was just straight panic. But then I did it, and I could not be more thankful to everyone who gave me the opportunity to do so, because the amount of good that comes out of this it's astronomical. And they're really, all those things I was worried about, I have yet to see a consequence come up for this. You know, it's just be the voice who people need and want to hear. It's hard to be in a room where, you know, you feel nervous to speak up. Where should I say this? Should it? Yes. If you think something, say it. And sure enough, you're going to have people there who agree with you. And all that does is make strength in numbers. And then from there, it's like I said, courage is contagious. People will listen. And I think that being brave and having the ability to say something speaks volumes about everything. I mean, this is such a, this issue shouldn't be an issue. I cannot believe that this is the world we live in, but the fact that it is, and the fact that we have people who are able to speak up and who do it, it's a beautiful thing. So I think if you can, do it.
Thank you, Lily.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much to you both. The amount of gratitude we have for your courage, both of you, is overwhelming, and we're just happy to bolster you and amplify your incredible message. We will continue to put you on a platform so you can speak your mind. This is just the beginning. Thank you so much for being here, and let's continue to do big things.
Absolutely. We are going to have
all you've done for us.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.